Time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we are scheduled to have Wedgetown Director of Operations and Economic Development, Nathan Messer, at 9 o'clock, and he's going to be discussing a new project that's going to be going up in Wedgetown, followed by Ball State Athletic Director Beth Gutz at 9:15, and we're going to wrap up this week's show with the founder of the Heat Radio Sports Network, Tony Cotillo, is going to be talking about the Carson Wentz trade. I'm really looking forward to seeing what that's going to happen. We're waiting for our first guest to give us a call. We've been trying to get a hold of him. So in the meantime, the numbers are 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. You can give us a call, and we'll talk about some stuff going around. Okay, I think we're about ready to get our guest here. So we have got our guest. Let me do a couple things here. We say good morning to Nathan Messer. Nathan, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Good. How are you this morning?
We're doing just great over here. At least the sun's out, and hopefully we're going to see some warmer weather coming here and get rid of some of the stuff that's a little white stuff on the ground. Getting tired looking at it.
So, yeah, that definitely be good to see the snow go away.
Yes, it definitely would be. So you guys have decided to start implementing a project to help a little bit of growth over your way. So talk about what you're thinking about doing here.
So the Rex development kind of started off with the idea of trying to build a community center, rec center, kind of like Carmel and Plainfield. And it evolved into realizing that those are very expensive. And so we decided to try to create a public-private partnership. And we've been in the market for a while now with finding that private partner who's able and willing to come together and create a youth sport recreation facility, but at the same time, we also want to build it into an entire area. So adding the mixed use component with light shopping, retail, adding entertainment venue. We're looking to add the green common area that could end up as an amphitheater or using our mobile stage. But it's all going to be centered around the sports facility, which is planned to be a 200,000 square foot facility with two full-size turf fields, six dedicated basketball, six dedicated volleyball, a large e-gaming facility, 50,000 square foot of medical office. So altogether should be a really cool project, and it's right next to the Little League Central District headquarters. So altogether, we think it'll create kind of a youth sports vacuum, so to say, where people will come from all over to come play youth sports in our area.
What on the turf fields, what sports are you going to allow there?
So, as I said, it's a public-private partnership, so okay. It'll be privately ran. We've had conversations with them. They've looked at the lacrosse market, the indoor flag football, winter sports, soccer. So it'll be a variety similar to probably what Grand Park and Finch Creek do with their turf fields, where it kind of houses whatever, wherever the need is.
You brought up Grant Park, which is one thing I was going to bring up. So how much is this thing really needed in your area? I know you guys are taking an old auto parts place over there and trying to fix that up. So what's going to be the draw here besides what we've already talked about?
So it's the youth sports. As we ran some different feasibility studies and market analysis and realized there is a big need for it. I can tell you last night I was at Grand Park for about 4 hours, with my kids. So I have a lot of neighbors who are at Grand Park or Finch Creek, regular going for indoor turf, for indoor basketball up at the Pacers Athletic Center, the field house. So there's definitely a need in youth sports, and sports like lacrosse. As they say, it's the fastest sport on 2 feet, and it's one of the fastest growing sports right now, so there's a a demand for, a continued demand for the indoor turf. As you can tell right now, outdoor fields probably aren't the best place to be running around.
No, not at all. I was going to say, you know, how come lacrosse has become such a big item, considering very few high schools, if any, really even have that as a sport anymore?
Yeah, and I can say that's what I was at Grand Park doing last night. Both of my kids have taken it on and love the sport. It's continuing to grow in the area. All the programs are starting to capture. I'm not sure the allure. My kids love it. I enjoy rooting for them in it, of course. Mm-hmm. But it just seems to be a growing sport. I don't know if it's the... Honestly, I don't know what it is about it. The kids just seem to be gravitating towards lacrosse. It takes the conditioning of soccer with the middies that are running the field the entire time, and then you have your attack and defenders and goalie. It's kind of like a version of hockey on turf.
Mm-hmm. And also, but you guys have also got a partner at home field, which is owned by a soccer guy, isn't it?
Yes. So one of the head guys of home field is partial owner of the MLS team in Kansas City, and that's one of the reasons we thought they'd be a great partner. They're one of their executive VPs, spent a long time in the NBA, I believe 13 years at the OKC Thunder,
mm-hmm.
And their executive management team. So they bring a lot of the pro sport knowledge and base, and they're trying to implement that into youth sports and the growth of youth sports.
What has been the town's reaction to this over your way?
Mostly positive. Obviously, you always have people who they question stuff like this because it does require some government assistance. These are large facilities. They like some tax incentives and so forth. But as a whole, it seems very positive. We're taking an old salvage yard that some were concerned was this horrible Superfund site. We've done a lot of remediation. The Maurer family has done a lot of remediation getting it to this point. It's still undergoing some observation, but in the whole, we have a plan with IDEM that we can move forward with and a soil mitigation plan that we've shared with the developers. They're comfortable with everything in it, and we're going to move forward with revitalizing that area, which was zoned I-1, which is heavy industrial.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it being heavy industrial, now it's going to be centered around youth sports and entertainment. So we're trading off what could have been a big warehouse of industrial manufacturing to a facility people are going to really want to go to on the weekends and evenings.
How much concern was there about the remediation, considering those are usually very hard to do and to get them approved?
Yeah, it was a multi-year process to get to where we're at now. But it's gone through from underground contaminants and our family doing really well at going through the remediation steps of it. Surface remediation, there was a lot of stuff taken on and off. Now what's out there is just a lot of debris from torn up tires, old lug nuts, pieces of bumper, stuff that can be cleaned up and hauled off. Most of the harmful contaminants have been removed and taken care of. So we believe it'll be an easy process moving forward. Obviously, we have a developer who's willing to come in and commit to $135 million in investment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've reviewed all the documents. They're comfortable with things moving forward. Obviously, they're going through the process of checking everything we submitted to them to ensure that a party on their end reviews and checks everything. But we went through a long process with IDEM getting it checked out to ensure it's safe. Since we are wanting to put facilities out there, and there's some areas we can't put a youth soccer field, for example,
mm-hmm.
just because there's so many contaminants in the ground of, like I said, the lug nuts, tires, old logos, car logos, different things. Those areas would have to be scraped to the clay liner and then rebuilt back up.
Okay.
But other than that, we can cap with buildings. We can put different turf areas. What we're looking to put there will really be a nice improvement for the area.
I know several people have had to deal with IDEM. What is the key in your mind of dealing with IDEM to get something like this at least off the ground and perhaps get it going?
I can tell you it's not cheap.
I know.
We spent a lot of time with environmental engineers and attorneys as we went through with the Maurer family, and we could tell you that through the process, we had the phase one done, and then we had phase two environmental. We had a lot of extra research. And then through the process, as we got things secured, the Maurer family and the town even agreed to putting the full purchase price, since we purchased the land, into an escrow. So that money's sitting there as a fallback in case all of a sudden we get out and there's unknown contaminants or issues that go above and beyond what we've already discussed.
Okay.
That way we can go back on and get those solved. But we had to submit a soil mitigation plan to IDEM, which really went through how we'll handle everything from any dirt moved on site, any dirt goes off site, has to go to a special facility that's intended for taking contaminated soil. But as I said, most of the contaminants out there are non-hazardous. They're just what would be considered dangerous. Obviously, if you're playing in the soil and run across broken windshields,
yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
So it's, we want to, the plan will be get that covered, cleaned, whatever we need to do to make that part safe with the buildings. But as for there being some major hazardous, the Maurer family was pretty good at keeping things isolated. As they brought vehicles in, they had a bay, they took them in to remove the engines and the radiators up at the front. So those areas were really isolated, and a lot of that was removed early on or taken care of by the family.
Okay. When do you expect to maybe have this thing all ready to go?
So the plan that Homefield released is they want to start moving dirt and by October.
Okay.
And they want to open this facility in spring of 23.
That's pretty ambiguous plan they got going there.
Yeah, it's a very aggressive schedule. As they've said, Homefield, they intend to build many of these across the country. They want to get into this sector, and them and their development team. So we're their second. They're doing one in Kansas City by the MLS field now. I believe what I've seen is they're revitalizing 260,000 square foot plus warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
And turning those into youth sports facilities. And they're taking a large area similar to what we're doing here of not just, hey, let's build our center. They got the entire area around the MLS field, and they're redeveloping the whole area.
Okay. All right. What was the town council's reaction? You have had one meeting, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What was their reaction to this?
Most of them had a heads up it was coming.
Okay.
Because obviously we can't go forward with trying to do a deal like this without at least keeping them in the loop.
Right.
It'd be a big one to just drop at a meeting and go, hey, guess what? We worked a deal out to do this $135 million project.
Mm-hmm.
So through the process, they've been very excited. Some of them have children that would benefit. Some of them see the strong economic benefit to the town. With people coming into town, it just creating, as I said, that vacuum of entertainment, youth sports that draw people to town, similar to what we started with the Little League and what we just envisioned the entire rec site as being, is that draw that really puts Whitestown and Southern Boone County on the map of, hey, this is a great place to come. And then once we're there, we want to show off the other assets within town.
Right.
And really try to focus on showing the positives of Whitestown.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No. Really look forward to it, and hopefully once it's up and running, we can get some more people, and maybe you can come out and do a broadcast from there. And
we'll see what happens.
Talk about the facility.
All right. That sounds good. We will definitely keep in touch between now and then. So, hey, Nathan, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you, to everybody that's involved in the project over there, and you take care, and we'll catch you later on, okay?
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Thanks for your time. Have a good one.
You too, Nathan. Take care. Bye-bye. That was Nathan Messer, who is involved with the project of a combination of a center and a sports complex over in Whitestown. We're going to take a break now as our next guest is on. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Gasper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent. I'm Ken Hartman. Getting ready to go to our next guest now, who is Ball State Athletic Director Beth Getz. Beth, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great, Ken. Thanks for having me with you this morning.
I always like to try and get everybody in from each school within the state. That's been my goal. I haven't quite got it done yet, but we're working on that. So I think it's, that'll be a lot of fun. First of all, the best thing we should probably talk about right off the top is the fact your football team won the MAC and then also won a bowl game.
Oh, no doubt. It's been a historic season for them, and it came at a time that we all could use a little bright spot. So it's been, over two decades since we won the MAC championship, but Coach New and the team really, they really just embraced the adversity of the season and gave us all something to celebrate.
How does it feel for you guys? I hate to say you guys being in the shadow of Notre Dame, Purdue, and IU, but how does it feel to run an athletic program basically as at least the fourth one in line probably in the state?
Well, I think every campus across the country is special for different reasons, and there's no doubt there's a structure with FBS autonomy and group of five schools, but I think our students choose Ball State because of unique academic reasons, and we compete some incredibly talented incredibly talented athletes, and so it's great for them to come and hone in on their craft, and we have an opportunity to get on the field with some of our state competitors on occasion, but we just want to be the best version of Ball State that we can be and feel like we can compete at a high level.
And the thing of it is, with you being in the MAC is a highly competitive conference. I'll be quite honest, does not get the stuff that they need to have, because this is a darn good conference.
It absolutely is, and that's one of the fun things, I think, and certainly we see that in football all the time, but across all of our sports. You've got some really talented athletes across this Midwest footprint, and they're often choosing MAC schools, certainly like Ball State. And so every time you step onto the field or to the court, you know it's going to be a competitive battle, and it's fun to watch. And I think that comes out in those that tune in to catch us on TV throughout the year.
You know, another thing that's come up quite a little bit now is the fact of people not really wanting to play a postseason conference tournament. But in your guys' situation, you almost have to play it, don't you?
Yeah, you know, that really hasn't been a point of concern within the Mid-American Conference. And I think, you know, there's probably a couple things that play into that, and perhaps part of that is not having at least at this point a guaranteed sort of at-large candidate at the moment on either the men's or women's side. So I think it makes good sense, and you know, with the imbalance and actually games played due to several cancellations, you want to try and get your best teams in the tournament and give them a chance to settle it on the court in that format.
You know, obviously the Power Five, not all of those need to play, but everybody else more than likely needs to play a conference tournament to make sure at least they get somebody in there.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably true. And I know there's been a lot of conversation around the country. We'll have to see how it plays out. I think more likely than not, most conferences are going to end up hosting their championship, but certainly can understand concerns on all sides of the argument, and you know, the things that our athletes across the country and our coaches have had to navigate through this time, you know, they've been heavy lifts, and so they're trying to do what's best and make decisions about the health of their athletes and about the chances to give them the best opportunity, you know, to compete for those championship experiences.
What's your thoughts about everything, the entire NCAA tournament being held in Indianapolis?
Well, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for Indianapolis. And as you probably know, Ball State is going to be the host for the first and second rounds down at Bankers Life. And we just think it's a great chance for us to be a part of that, for our staff and our community to try and support a tournament that brings so many people together. And so we really just applaud the city and everybody involved, the other institutions that are working hard to put this together. And what usually is years and years of planning, and of course, the Indiana Sports Corps, their old hat to doing this, but it's been a heavy lift for everybody involved. But I think at the end of the day, they can put on a tournament that will be exciting for everybody, and we're going to get to crown a champion in a way that allows for the city and for fans to see it, but also keeps our student athletes health and safety front and center.
You know, it seems like Indianapolis is going to become front and center for a lot of things. Not only did they get the NCAA basketball tournament this year, but they got the football playoff again next year.
I know, and it's, you know, something I think we all can be proud of, and that we talk about certainly for those that live here in Indiana, but as we all also are recruiting students and student athletes from across the country, we can talk about what sports means in our communities and in the state. And so it's a draw for everyone, and know that it also is really important to the economic stability of our state as well.
So what are you guys doing now for capacity over at your place? Are you letting people in yet, or what are you doing over there?
Yeah, so we actually at this point our Mid-American Conference restrictions are a little bit tighter than what they would be if we were just following Delaware County guidelines.
Okay.
Which would allow us to have a greater capacity. So at this point for our sport, really what we're doing is allowing family and friends tickets for our participants and very limited other guests. So there's no general admission to any sports at this point for us at Ball State. But like I said, that's a little bit more tied in our footprint. Obviously, our states, Michigan and Ohio, have different restrictions. So in an effort to have a little bit of parity, that's what we've chosen to do in the Mid-American Conference at this point in time.
I notice in a little thing here I've got in front of me, you've got some fan cutouts now available. Tell me a little bit about that project for you. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, given we can't put our just wonderful supporters and fans and alums in the stands, we you know, it's fun, and you've seen this across the country, but a fun opportunity for them to be there with us and see themselves in the, you know, on TV or when they're watching us being streamed, that they're actually in the arena with us. So you've got everything from, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa to their favorite family pet. that is hanging out there in the arena. So it's been a fun project for everybody.
I've seen more family pets being put on cutouts than I have of a lot of other things here recently.
That's right. I think it's just something that's going to make us all smile is going to be looking at the family dog sitting in the aisle across from us.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you suggested this project, what was the overall reaction to everybody for doing this?
You know, I think it was obviously somebody came out with a quick branding idea and it picked up across the country. So, Sean Sullivan, who really manages a lot of our all of our marketing and external outreach in that area, quickly brought it forward. So, even staff was quickly excited. So, it was great to get out to the parents in particular of our student athletes and others that just haven't had a chance to be there with us. And it's amazing how much we miss that interaction with our community. These people are so important to us, and I think our athletes are important to them. And we're used to spending 9 months of the year with them and seeing them multiple times a week. And so,
right.
just a little something to bridge that gap for you.
Wouldn't it be? I think it might be kind of interesting if people start putting some voices with these cutouts. You know, maybe make that part of the cutout.
That's right. You know, we do pipe in some fan noise at times, and so you definitely could get some folks to chime in there, I think.
So, how many more home games have you guys got this year for men's basketball?
Well, those seem to be a moving target these days, Ken, with cancellations and makeups. But let me see here. We've got another four coming up pretty quickly, which is great, and those are a lot of makeups for men's basketball. So we faced Akron last night, and we play again Sunday night, which is a makeup game for us as well. So we're going to get to, for the most part, finish out the season, the regular season here at Worthen Arena, which will be great for our guys.
Now, when does the MAC tournament start, and where's it going to be this year?
We'll be back up in Cleveland.
Okay.
And so the both the men's and women's, we've made some, obviously, adjustments due to the current COVID restrictions, but the top eight teams will get up there and will start on Tuesday of Wednesday, that second week in March.
And you guys are in there for right now, aren't you?
We are. We've got some work to do, no doubt, and I'm sure those that are following us closely have seen we've lost a few games, and actually our student athletes have done a great job, but just due to whether it was some quarantine on our side or cancellations that came as a result of some issues some other schools were having. We missed a few games there in the middle of the stretch. So I think we're hitting our stride now and we'll be able to solidify a spot in that tournament and really be able to compete once we get in there.
Now we have John Steinbrecher is one of our, been on the show three or four times. And I like, and John and I are pretty good friends now, and he's been a lot of fun to have on the show.
Well, we could not be more grateful to have John as our leader in the Mid-American Conference, and really just think that he's been, his work has been so visionary for the MAC, I think, mm-hmm. across the board, and certainly helped all of our campuses during this last year, which was critical. And so, I think he's done an incredible job of making sure that the Mid-American Conference is positioned as well as they can be, both nationally and to keep the focus as well locally on what type of experience we're providing our student athletes.
You guys got any big plans coming up for the future that you want to maybe let out now, or if you just want to keep them quiet, that's okay too.
Well, we're just thrilled here that we're about to complete our indoor practice facility project. So that's the Schumann Family Indoor practice facility that'll give our sports an opportunity to compete indoors on days like today where it's a little difficult to get outside. So certainly football, soccer, baseball, softball will be regular users of that space, as well as I'm sure others across our campus and in the community. So that'll be it's close to completion. It'll open here in May.
Okay.
And we've got some other projects we're going to be excited to announce here in the next 6 months. And certainly we can't do what we do without the generous support of so many. And so that their philanthropic gifts help us continue to make sure that our student athletes are successful on and off the field.
Okay. Beth, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, we just, you know, again, we're thrilled to, and grateful to our campus, that they've worked so hard to allow our student athletes to compete this year. It's been incredibly meaningful for them and know that that's paid off in a way that's allowed them to share in that, excitement with a football championship. So, you know, we feel really grateful and just excited about what's to come and this continued upward success for Ball State Athletics.
You know, and I think also we're going to look back at this time and say, look at what we got done, considering we really weren't supposed to be able to do that. So I think that's going to be something that's going to help everybody out, too.
That's great perspective. I agree, Ken.
Yeah. Beth, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. You guys, all the success in the world to the Cardinals over there. You take good care, and we'll catch you a little bit later down, okay?
Appreciate it, Ken. Thanks for the opportunity to be with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We appreciate your time. Take good care of yourself.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Beth Getz, who is the athletic director of Ball State University. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.